Whatever God leads me to say or do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what it is, I'm going to do it. So the name of my lesson is Hand in Hand, Not One or Another, or the Other, sorry. And we're going to be reading from 2 Peter 3 and 18. It's a really quick scripture. 2 Peter 3 and 18. And 2 Peter 3 and 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. You may be seated. The Bible says that all men and women are created in God's image. We were created to reflect God's attributes. You can look for your identity anywhere, but followers of Jesus are called to find their identity in him. But to understand your identity, you must know who he is completely. So a couple of weeks ago, Sister Stephanie was teaching, and she was teaching on the two sons. And in that message, she said that there is no way to submit to God if you don't know him, or if you aren't connected to him. Then she went on to say, when you know him as Lord, you must take up your cross because this is your salvation. So you must obey him. So as Sister Stephanie was talking, I sit there because the whole room gets muffled for half a second. And then she goes on and she says this, you must be a servant and know him as master. She also said, when we follow him, he becomes our Lord. But most of us only know him as our Savior, the one that saves us. So I'm sitting there, and this has never happened that I can recall. But I'm sitting there, and Sister Cindy is teaching, and the whole room goes quiet for like 3 to 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, God starts downloading this message in me. And I'm thinking it's super tight because he's never done this before, right? So I get out my phone and I start writing down what he tells me, right? And as he's telling me these things, I'm real curious because I'm not studied on it. He's just downloading this word and I don't have full understanding. But I'm like, hi, right? So then I come back, I hear the rest of Sister Stephanie's message. But when I go home, God said, I want you to re-listen to two sons. I want you to go to that part, and then I want you to study it. I'm like, okay, Lord, no problem. So that's exactly what I did. When we start seeking Jesus at the beginning of our walk, or however we come to Jesus, or periodically we're in and out of knowing who Jesus is, we know him as Savior, right? We know salvation. We know Acts 2:38, right? We know repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We know that as salvation. Amen. We know that as salvation, right? And that's a great start. It's the greatest start that you can have. But a savior is a person who saves someone or something from danger or ruin or defeat or destruction, or the one that brings salvation. So we all identify, for the most part, Jesus is our savior. I don't care if you're in church or you're not in church. You know who to run to in most cases. You know that there is somebody beyond you that you can run to, that you can call on, that will save you or help you in the situation. It's like driving down the street and you're about to get in an accident, and you don't have this real long prayer because you're about to get in an accident. So what you do is you call on the name of Jesus, because you know the name of Jesus brings power. So when we start walking it out with Jesus and we start knowing him more as our helper in times and needs, we also learn that Jesus is the Savior because he was fully divine and fully human. And as God, he was the only one powerful enough to make up the offenses of our mistakes. As a human being, he was able to represent us. So Jesus freely took on himself and our sins and ransomed us by his sacrifice. Basically, he died so we can live.
Right?
Right? Okay. That's his grace. As we grow in grace, we learn that Jesus is tied. He's tied. I mean, you start learning that. As you start walking with God, you just know he's tied, right?
Right.
So, and you realize that he saved you from so many things. That's my testimony. He saved me from a whole bunch, right? But he mainly saved us from ourselves. Would we agree? Because we keep seeing what our Savior is doing in our life. He really becomes Savior. Like, to run to for every situation, he really becomes that in our life. I don't care if you're backslidden, you know who to call on. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what problem you have. When you have no other answer, you'll call on Jesus. Because you know him as Savior, right? But when we first get saved, or we first realize that Jesus is Savior, we walk around and we're super giddy, right? We're like, I'm saved, right? Marcus is up. We walk around like that. We're super giddy about it. Because we keep seeing what the Savior is doing in our life. And when we were new, and we started connecting to the body, you connect with a member of the church, and they go, oh, yeah. And now you should be praying daily, and now you should be reading, and one more thing, you should be teaching Bible studies. And this is how you feed your salvation. And you get to know your Savior more and more, and you're not just saved. You start learning about God, right? And we are connected to what we should be doing for a little bit. Because he's our Savior. And then time goes by, and we get relaxed in our walks. Because we know he's our Savior. And if something happens, we can call on our Savior. So we're good, right? And we start practicing calling on him only when we need him, or when times are bad, or we're in a bind, or we're self-destruction, or we want something that only he could do. And at times, we take a break from the gift of salvation, and we put it on pause until we need our Savior again. Now, keep this. We kind of treat our Lord and our Savior, sorry, we kind of treat our Savior like a job. That's what we do. When we get a new job or we go to a new school, we're real giddy. We like, yeah, let me get in there, yeah, God bless me with this job. We in there, right? We're super giddy. And that's how we come to God. We're super excited about what he did, and he showed himself this Savior. But then we start telling people, and then we kind of like back off a lot because we don't feel like going to church all the time. And we don't keep talking to them and seek direction. We start doing it our own way. And we start taking vacations from reading our Bible and things that we need to do. And we get frustrated when things aren't going the way that we think God should be doing it. We get overwhelmed by his plan because it isn't what we really wanted. And so we start shortcoming our fundamentals, like reading and praying and studying and teaching and seeking, you know, continuing to build on the salvation that you received freely. Jesus must become Lord and Savior over your life. And being saved is not enough. It's a start, but it's not the end to this. Sometimes we stay stuck in salvation alone way too long, and we only see him as Savior to run to when we have that issue or we have some needs and we need more saving. But if we started good habits, even in your walk today, and kept it, and we could see the grace of salvation there a lot more, there's a lot more that he wants to do. Because as you do that little, you get locked in on salvation, and then he becomes your Lord, and you can submit to his plan, and you become his sheep. You're willing to stop doing things that you're doing. Like, you're willing to stop drinking and cussing and hooking up and getting angry and lying and stop doing it. when you become sheep, you are willing to commune, and you understand that you can't do anything without him. You're Adon, A-D-O-E, which means Lord, your master. For all the kids in the room, your boss. Your Lord Master and Master needs you to know that he's more than your Savior. He doesn't just want to save you when you have a problem. He doesn't. Like, he already did that. He already saved you. He already filled you with the Holy Ghost. He already made his presence known. He already loved you. He already gave you grace. You're already forgiven. He did his part. When he saved you, he's your Savior. You identify with that. But he wants to be your Lord. He doesn't just want to be your Savior. He wants to be your Master. So, for Jesus to be the Lord of your life, it means that he has to be ruler, boss, master of your whole life. Not a portion of it, not little bits and pieces that you feel like giving to him, but over your whole life. You must give him control over your entire life, over all of it. Not pieces that are comfortable, not the part that you just want him to correct, all of it. I didn't know Jesus as master. I only knew him for Savior for a very long time. And truth be told, Jesus didn't truly become my Lord until I understood that he was my Savior, because he kept saving me from myself. Like, he saved me from the world and fear and depression and addiction and from my own deceitful ways. And because I could see all those things that he saved me from, I absolutely knew him as Savior. I don't care what portion of my life, I always knew that God was my Savior and I could call on him and he would come rescue me. I did know that. Now, I'm not a perfect Christian and I don't have it all together. And God knows that very well. But as I fumble in this walk, he teaches me in my mistakes that he is my Savior and there's nothing that he can't do. Now, this isn't an overnight process. It's an ongoing process. For me, it's been a real marathon, right? One that I don't take lightly, but one that I know is not by my abilities or my might. Amen. My Savior saves me from me, and in saving me, I had to make him ruler. I had to make him Lord. And how I did that is by saying, I can't. I don't know how. I really love this, and I don't even know how to change up my thinking. My heart's not right, and I need you to clean it. Because that's what a master does. He can change everything in your heart. He can change the way you think. He can change your bad habits. He can do all of those things, but you have to surrender. You have to be willing. You have to be sincere to say, I can't do it in my own ability. I can't do it in my own might. But I have a master that can do all things. I have a Savior that wants to save me, and he can change my predicament. He can change my mind. He can change my heart. He can redevelop what I once said I was. So, as Jesus kept saving me, and then saving me, and then saving me again, I made him ruler, right? And I kept saying, I don't know how. I don't know how to do this. And sometimes I came to him and I said, Lord, I really like this man. Like, I really, really like it, right? So I'm going to really, really need some help. But every time he came and he met me where I was, because I kept making him boss, and I kept realizing that my ways kept leading me to all these places that I truly didn't want to be. And my mapped out plan had me with no peace in a 40-year journey. And my great ideas had me going in circles over and over again, which is insanity, doing that same thing over and over again and getting the same result. As my Savior, I knew that I didn't know how to get it right. So I needed someone to help me get right. I felt like Paul so many times in my walk saying that although I want to do right, I end up doing what is wrong. For the good I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. The Savior knows our hearts. Shoot, he even knows when we're doing really wrong and we're like, we don't even want to give it up, so I ain't even going to come to you, like he don't know you're doing it. So I'm just going to kind of keep it to myself real hush-hush because Jesus don't know, but he really knows everything that you're doing, so you might as well reveal it and ask him for help. Because the truth is this, Jesus cannot help you until you realize that you, for real, you want him. Right? And sometimes we don't necessarily want it, but when you bring it before him and you petition him and you say, Lord, this is where I'm stuck. Like I really, for years, I had this misperception about dating because I was married and it hurt me to my core when I got divorced. And when I got divorced, in my mind, I said, I'm never gonna get married again. But I still want to date people. Like, what are we talking about? I don't wanna be single for the rest of my life. I still wanna date. I still wanna do Don, right? I still wanna do me. So I was dating and I was doing my thing and I was doing it how I wanted to. And I would go to God and I would go, I know this is crazy, but this is my broken pieces. I don't know how to mend myself. I don't know how to heal this. And I know what I'm doing is absolutely wrong. It is not your guidance. It's not your direction. It is not what the word of God says. But I kept doing it. But I kept going to God and kept saying, change my heart. Because like, for a long time, I like hated marriage. Like, it was the worst thing on earth. Like, who does that? Just stay by yourself, marry Jesus, and then you got some peace and calm. You ain't banging with nobody. Like, it's all good with Jesus. He tells you what to do. You surrender, and you do it, right? But I had a misconception, and I walked it out. But I always had a conversation with God. Like, I really need help, because I know what your word says, and I want to line up with your word, and I want to do right by you. And every time you do that, you make him master. When you go to him with pieces that you cannot overcome by yourself, then you run to your master and he will bring you out. I did these things in all sincerity. I always go to Jesus. I don't care what it is because I know he already knows anyway, so I might as well bring it to your attention that I'm aware too. So I would go to Jesus and I would go, I love this thing. I love this thing. Change my heart. Because he has the ability to change our heart. He has the ability to change our mind. He has the ability to heal us. He has the ability to walk us through this life and help us to stop agreeing with how we identify ourselves. It's really important because so many times we say, that's just how I am. That's not how God created you. It's not his identity, so that's not who you should be either. But we are so content with saying that's who we are. If it's not lining up with who God is, it's not who you're supposed to be. It's not. It's not. But we do that so freely, and I find myself doing it like, that's who I am. Well, that's not who I am. That's not who God created me to be, because that's not his identity. And the whole goal is to wake up in his likeness. So if I'm waking up any other way, then that's not my true identity. I'm just claiming somebody else's identity, which I did in the world, and I want to keep doing in the church. You hear me? I want to be free from me. And the only way to be free is to know him as Lord and Master. And you have to be real sincere to get there. Because there's a lot of things that you cannot do in your own ability. You cannot do by your own might. Your thinking has you all over the place, and you will stay stuck there, living off of a savior and never knowing your master for the rest of your days because you stopped at savior and never knew him as master, okay? Another thing I want to bring up is God's full intent. Honestly, his desire is not only for us to just walk in his identity, but also to awaken his likeness. We think, for some reason, it's our ability. But if it was my ability, no lie, I'd still be in square one. Because my ability couldn't get me where I'm at in my walk today. My ability, my own doing, would not have me lined up with God the way I am. It would not have him as Lord and Master of my life. Or Lord and Savior of my life. It would not, because that wasn't in me, right? It's his abilities. But it has to be your earnest desire for the Lord and the Savior to save you. I think we think a lot of times that we're our own Savior. And that's why we think that we have to get right before we can do anything for God. We gotta get right before we can go to church. We want everything to be perfect before we make choices to serve him. We must be all pretty before it can use us, and we must stop lying. and ask our Savior to make us over to a place where we are in motion towards Him, and then He'll change our whole mind. He'll align us with His will in His way if we stay consistent. What we do is, it's not lining up, so we take a break. This ain't working. Or I don't want to do it, so I'm going to take a break. Or this doesn't feel like I think it should. Or I thought out this whole plan, and my plan doesn't look like God's plan, but, you know, God must be wrong, I guess, because your plan ain't lining up with His. Stop. Stop lying, right? Stop lying to yourself, because you have to align with Him. He doesn't align with us. He's not going to say, hey, Brother Murray, let me line up. What is your heart's desire? That's another thing. Let me bring that up right quick. We always say, my heart's desire. And God knows my heart's desire. And that's scripture, right? But He also says your heart is deceitfully wicked. So sometimes we're in that prayer closet with our deceitfully wicked heart, asking for stuff that is not His will for our life. And then we're wondering why we're all over the place. Why are we in this rut for 10 years straight? Why are we going through the same thing over and over again? Because your wicked heart pleaded to your master, and He said, let me let them learn the hard way. Because He'll let you. He'll let you. You keep on asking, He'll let you. He'll let you go that way. He won't kill you, but He'll let you. I did it. Like a million times over. I did it my way a lot of times. I did it my way. I'm trying to tell everybody, especially the newer people, don't do it your way. Don't do it your way. Make Him Lord and Savior over your life. Make Him Savior where you know you can call on Him, but make Him Master where you know how to follow in Him and you know how to trust Him. And at the beginning, you're not going to know how to trust Him. It's when you start knowing the Savior and you start asking for things and He starts manifesting those things and He starts telling you no, and you're like, cool. And then you see that red flag, like, that's why He told me no. It's those kind of things that build that relationship. So this is what we do. I don't want to do it like that. God didn't really say that, because it doesn't look like what I planned or plotted in my mind. So it's not God. And that's not the truth. God has given words, and we do not follow the words because we have our own agenda. He is not your master if you have your own agenda. He is not your master. You're your master. You are ruler over your life, and you're content with that. But now you have all these issues, and you can't figure out how to get out of those issues. But you willed those issues because you made yourself God, and you're answering to yourself instead of your master. So Lord and Savior is what God wants to become in our life. It's hand in hand, not one or the other. You can't just stay at a Savior and think you got the whole plan down. If you never make Him master, you do not get it right, right? You're just running to Him in times of need. Until He's master and Savior, it will not be complete. You will keep finding your foot slipping. You will keep trying to figure out what is going wrong. Why can't I serve God? Because you never made Him master. You made you master and Him Savior. I mess up, I pray. I mess up, I pray. I mess up, I pray. That's a Savior. He's going to save you. He is your salvation. He is your Savior. He's going to save you. He's going to come help you. He's going to help you get it right. Then you're going to go through the same cycle if you never make Him master. If you don't give Him control, if you don't make Him ruler, if you don't seek Him, I'm not talking about seek what everybody else is saying. I'm talking about really build this relationship till you know who your master is, where you can really talk to Him and trust what He's saying. That even when you don't want to do it, you'll do it anyway because you are affirmed that God knows the right plan for you. When you're in that position, this position right here, when this is strong, nothing else can go wrong because He'll be your Lord and Savior. Because you're allowing Him to rule, operate, lead, guide, direct your steps. When we know Him as Lord, we trust this plan, and even how we pray is different, right? So a couple of weeks ago, we were in fellowship, and an individual was telling this testimony about this football player. And he shared this testimony about his daughter being sick and she was rushed to the hospital. Now, in his testimony, he didn't say, heal her, Lord. He said, make her better, Lord. And I was like, I definitely would have said, heal him, just putting that out there. But he said, make her better, Lord. He said, she was already great, so better encompassed it all. Our heart's desires may give us an answer, but it's not the answer that God wanted, right? So to pray to heal her is good. Before the moment that she was sick, she was already healed. And he asked God for more than that, because he said, my plan was to heal my daughter, but my prayer was, make her better, Lord. This is what it interpreted to, okay? What he really prayed was, improve or surpass, Master, because you already made her great. Mm. That was his prayer. When they said it, I looked it up like, I don't understand the better part. But when you're connected to your Master, he starts giving you words to pray. That's why you can intercede for people. It's not because you have all these groovy words and you know everything to pray for people. He starts revealing stuff and he starts filling your mouth. Then you can pray effectively and you can break the strongholds off of anybody because you made him your Master and you're just following his lead. We look for pretty words, but God will give you all those words when you align with him as Lord and Master. He can't just be a Savior. He has to be Lord and Master. He has to be both. And if he's not both, you'll be unchildren. We have to recognize that when we seek him to be our Lord and Savior, it's in his fullness, not our abilities or our will or our heart's desire, because our hearts have to become submission of our Master and ruler. And we have to obey his plan because we know that the plans that he has for us are good. And his thoughts are higher than ours. Let me tell you what that really means. You cannot think out God's plan. Right. But we do. For real, that's what we do. We think out, this is what God's going to do, this is how he's going to do it, because he gave me this glimpse of a word, and that's what it is, right? And then we start going through it, and we're like, God, where are you? Where are you? Because you should be connected to him so tight that he is guiding you in every step of the way. Really quick. So my 30 days a month is pray more. True story. God told me to pray more. I start crying. God, I pray more. Like, my whole life is prayer. Like, when will I do that? So I'm not going to go through the whole story. But last week, God said, you keep on connecting to me, and then you get disconnected from me. And when you're disconnected from me throughout your day, you never reconnect. Let me not say that. He didn't say you never reconnect, but you finish what you're doing in your own ability, because in my mind, it has to get done, but you're not reconnecting. And so all last week, my whole week was like ridiculous. Like, it was crazy to a whole nother level. I'm like, what is going on? So he showed me a glimpse of what that looks like. Like, stop, refocus, reconnect, keep on moving. I'll be with you, I'll guide you. And then if you get off kilter, because you feel when you're off kilter, right, you feel right. When you're not connected to God. You know when you're a little sideways. Like, for real, we know that. But I wasn't stopping, right? Because I got deadlines and I got to get this done and I got to go here and I got to do this. All about me. And he said, you will never pray without ceasing or stay connected to me until you connect with me at every point of your day. That's how you pray without ceasing. Because he's with you. You know when he's with you. And you know when he's not with you. You do. Because you start getting all these feelings. You get emotions. It's because you're not connected. I don't be connected all the time. But I was like, pray more. This is a tall task. Like, golly. But he wants it all day. He wants me to be connected. And that doesn't mean literally praying every 5 seconds of the day. It's making sure when I'm not connected, because I absolutely know when I'm not connected to my Master, Because ain't nothing going right, but when I'm connected.
I know what you're talking about.
When I'm connected, I'm in there. That's real talk. It's a surrenderance to say that I can't do it by myself.
Right.
It's really a surrenderance. It's a state of mind where you have to say, I just don't know how to do it for you. And I really need you to help me. And I really need to fall in line with your plans. I really need you to help me surrender because I don't even know how to do this. Because truth be told, our plans haven't been our best ideas. I know a lot of y'all stories, right? They haven't been our best ideas. But I'm going to tell you about my plans that wasn't my best idea, right? So my plans had me with two kids at a red light. My plans had me depressed, lonely, and sitting there feeling crazy. My plans had me trying to figure out who I was and being everybody else. My plans had me with suicidal tendencies. My plan had me high and drunk. My plan had me cussing and fighting. My plan had me angry and confused. Shoot, my plan had me stealing for rent money. My plan had me putting $5 in the gas tank every time I pulled up. My plan had me in love every 15 minutes. My plan had me in relationships that weren't meant for me. My plan had me on a roller coaster of emotions. My plans had me in jail. My plan had me hating people who loved me. My plan had me robbing people. My plan had me believing that I was beneath and not above. My plan had me sick. My plan had me in the chicken wing in the living room. And my plan gave me low self-esteem. And my plan had me evicted. And my plan had me on Section 8 and food stamps stuck. My plan had me fearful, and my plan never knew I had a savior. My plan had me unlocked. But his plan was way different. His plan gave me peace of mind and self-control and long-suffering. And that made me depend on him more. And his plan gave my boys a father, and his plan held my body, mind, and soul. And his plans qualify me even when I'm unqualified. And his plans brought me miracles, signs, and wonders. And his plans gave me freedom, and his plan has gave me purpose. And his plan has made me a victor, and his plan has changed my perception. His plan has gave me healthy relationships, and his plan taught me love, how to love me and how to love him. And his plan forgave all offenses of my past, and his plan gave me a renewed mind. And his plan taught me that no one is greater than him. And his plan taught me to surrender. And his plan made me blessed, and his plan made my heart change. His plan taught me how to pray in spirit and change the words to his words. And his plan taught me that he is Lord, Savior, Master, Boss, Truth of my life. His plan set me free and taught me to seek him as Lord and Savior. When I knew him as Savior, I only knew some of him. But when I made him the Savior of my life, I got a revelation. And when I knew him as Lord, it transformed my life. But when I made him Lord and Savior, baby, I never looked back because he made me whole. Grow in grace and understanding of who your Master and Savior is. Amen. Jesus, we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus, asking that you would touch our minds and our hearts, Lord Jesus, that we would truly know you as Lord and Savior. That we would not know you as one, but we would know you as both. That you would realign us in this walk. To know you completely. And we will understand your grace and your love for us. That we would not will our life or accept an identity that is not ours. That we would completely surrender, seeking that you would grow us in your identity. That we would desire to be more like you, and that you would bring a decrease in us. That we would be full in you, and that we would want nothing less. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.